thank you, Chris Morales. And you heard Morales say we're on two stations now. We're on 710. We're on 1110 in Pasadena. Welcome to those of you listening on 1110. And welcome, Laker fans. They come back on this seven-game road trip with a winning record, 4-3. Now, normally, Laker fans wouldn't like 4-3, but when you don't have LeBron, you don't have AD, you don't have Markieff Morris, you don't have Talen Horton Tucker for a game. The fact that they came back with a winning record, to me, is a huge win. And now they can focus on their next three games at home, all of them difficult. Tomorrow night against the Celtics, Saturday against the Jazz, Monday again against the Jazz. Now, we got a lot of things happening here. Ramona's on her way over from TV. Moments ago, the Lakers landed at LAX. They spent the night in Charlotte last night. They flew home this morning. And as soon as they landed, Alex Caruso was nice enough to grab his phone and spend a few minutes with me. I just taped this with Caruso moments ago, and I began by asking him, how does it feel to have your feet back on the ground in California after 2 weeks on the road?
Yeah, it's nice to be back. the road is an unforgiving place, and like you said, 2 weeks on the road is, you know, even worse. So always glad to come back, and the sun's shining today, so it was nice to come back some nice weather as well.
All right, so you haven't seen this yet because you just landed, but the headline in the LA Times this morning about your game says, Alex Caruso is the Lakers' star of the game with big plays on both ends to beat the Hornets. And in the story, it says, his clutch three-pointer in the final seconds pushed the Laker lead to 4. His defense following that shot was another big moment. His rebound afterwards was another key. His 2 free throws sealed the game and wrapped up Caruso's impressive night. So, as you woke up this morning, which one of those things were you the proudest about? The 3, the defense, the rebound, or the free throws?
Is there all of the above?
Yep, absolutely. I'll give you that. But, boy, it all kind of happened in a row. The ball kind of found you with the game on the line, didn't it?
Yeah, I was in a pretty good headspace and flow of that game. I felt good in the first half. Didn't have extremely long stretches. I think Coach played me like 6 minutes and 7 minutes or 6 minutes at a time. So I was just eager to get back out there in the second half because I knew I kind of had a good flow for the game. And like you said, the ball just kind of happened to find me on the last couple plays, and thankfully we pulled out the win on top of it.
I know you pretty well, Alex, and normally if I said to you, you guys just went 4-3 on a seven-game road trip, you'd be a little disappointed. But this was unique. You went 4-3 without LeBron and AD, without Drummond for part of it, without Kuz for part of it. Do you consider this a successful road trip considering all the circumstances you guys were able to overcome?
Yeah, I'd say it's somewhat successful. Like you said, you know, the standards are high and the bar is set high after last year and you know, how we want to play and how we want to conduct ourselves as the Lakers. But I think for what we've gone through, like you said, you listed off a couple guys that missed injuries. Keith missed some time. Wes missed a game. Talen missed a game. You know, we really just grinded it out. And on the road, you know, those two-week-long road trips, they get a bit abysmal towards the end. So I think for us to pull it together on the back-to-back and come out with a win against Charlotte to take us over 500 for the road trip was big.
When I do the games with Michael on the radio, we both argue all the time that we want you out. I don't really care what happens in the first three quarters, but I want you out there at the end of the game. I think you just have a good feel for the end of the game. Is that something that's in your headspace? I know you and LeBron statistically are really good at the end. I know Frank has commented on it. Is that something that you take pride in, that you want to be in that finishing lineup?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been kind of my mantra as a basketball player. Like, I don't really care who starts the game or who, you know, plays the most minutes, but at the end of the game, I want to be in there. That's just me being competitive. You know, that's kind of the drive and desire that I've always had to help me get to this point. And I like to just say, like, every now and then I'll whisper to my teammates or I'll talk to somebody on the side as we come out of a timeout and just say it's winning time. It's usually the last 5-6 minutes of a game, and that's usually when the big plays are made, and that's when it's most crucial. So for me, that's when basketball is the most fun, you know, when the possessions count every time down.
All right. Well, this has been this year, Alex, really, the last calendar year has been insane. The way you guys won in the bubble, there were no fans. This season, you've at home games, you have no fans. Tomorrow night, you're going to have fans. There's going to be a couple thousand Laker fans in the building. Is that something that you're conscious of and looking forward to? Do you try and block it out? How do you feel about fans coming back into the seats?
I'm really excited. I told Mike Trudell yesterday post-game that, you know, they've introduced us as the defending world champ so many times at home games this year, but we haven't had anybody to celebrate or cheer for. So I'm excited to hear that roar for the first time, no matter how many people are in the stands, if it's 2,000, 10,000, 20,000. You know, I'm just excited that we have some Lakers fans back home in Staples Center.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be great. Now, a big stretch coming up here. The good news is you get to play at home. It's going to be hard. The Celtics, who played you guys to a one-point game in Boston earlier this year and who have been hot, come in tomorrow night. And then the best team in the West, Utah, comes in. I'm assuming that you're not going to have LeBron or AD, at least not yet. What's the key to taking on teams like Boston and Utah and trying to win those games without your two best players?
Yeah, Boston's been really hot of late. And then Utah, like you said, really good team, has proven their worth so far through the season to be a really good team. So for us, I think it's really just about, you know, trying to build on the things that we've been talking about as a team for the last couple of weeks without those guys, you know, playing really hard defensively. I think we've done a good job of that. I think we're still top two, top three in the league in defensive rating, even without those two. And then continue to share the ball and get great shots on offense. When we let the ball find the open man and you know, try not to force stuff and play for each other, I think we do a really good job of playing basketball. And I think we're a really dangerous team, even, like we said, without AD and Bron. So for us, it's just about trying to be consistent with those two things. You know, I think if we defend at a high level and then make sure that we have the right spacing, the right tempo, the right offensive mindset, I think that you know, we can play with anybody.
Alex, I really appreciate you doing this, man. I know you just landed, and go home, do some laundry, sleep in your own bed, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Great talking to you.
All right, thanks, Alex. That's Alex Caruso. I taped that right before the show when he landed at LAX. And putting it bluntly, the Lakers don't win that game without his performance in the last 2 minutes. If you watch the game last night, the lead was slipping away. The Lakers led by 10. Charlotte made a late run, and Caruso just came up with three or four really big plays in a row to lock down that victory. And in doing that, I think it takes the Lakers one step closer. They have 17 games left. It's one step closer to avoiding the play-in tournament. And I think now that's priority one, because you got AD and LeBron coming back. If you can get that week off right at the end of the season, it all comes together. And then the Lakers, regardless if they're fifth, sixth, fourth, it doesn't matter. If you're in the top six, I think they'll be the favorites to win the whole thing. Now, you heard me say to Alex that fans will be back in the building tomorrow night. It's been 13 months since Staples Center has had spectators. 13 months. Now, it's not going to be a lot of people. There's only going to be 2,000 people that are allowed into this venue, and it's going to be kind of a pilot program because the Kings, the Lakers, the Clippers are all welcoming fans back. The Lakers are going first. So some of the guidelines that you'll need, the number one question I'm getting as soon as they announced that fans would be back in the building was that, how do I get in? How do I get tickets? What allows me to get in? So we're going to, throughout the show today, kind of go over what would allow you to do that. We're working on getting somebody from the Staples Center that can kind of outline the procedures. But here's what I know now. The biggest, most urgent rule that they are talking about is that spectators need to be either fully vaccinated according to CDC guidelines. That means you've had both shots, or you've had the Johnson & Johnson shot and you have to provide proof of that, or provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test within the previous 72 hours. So that means if somebody calls you and says, hey, I got an extra ticket to the Laker game tomorrow night, They call you today. Do you want to go? Remember that you've got to check one of those boxes. If you don't check one of those boxes, they're not going to let you in. You either have to have proof of vaccination or you got to go get a COVID test. Now, there are several tests available throughout the city. You can get a quick PCR test and they'll give you the results and it'll show you right there on your phone. By the way, there are no paper tickets anymore. All the tickets are electronic. And so for that reason, I think that you need, you know, basically to have those two boxes checked. You need to have an electronic ticket and you need to have proof of vaccination. That'll get you in the door. Before these stadiums are able to operate at full capacity, there's going to be a number of rules that they're going to do. And they're waiting tomorrow night. They're anxious. I've been talking to people for the past couple of days. AEG, the Lakers are all really anxious to get fans back in the building. So they want to welcome you, but you're going to have to follow these rules. For example, one of the first things you'll notice is that the borders of Staples Center have been expanded beyond the physical walls. So you'll be met outside in a fenced off perimeter around the arena for those things. They're going to check your photo ID, check your health verification. There's no testing available on site, so you can't say, oh, I'll do a test, because it's not available to you. Tickets will only be, as I mentioned, available electronically, and you have to be able to prove those two things. Now, once you're within that fenced-off area, you got to wear a mask the whole time for the entire game, except in designated outdoor eating areas. Neck gaiters and bandanas will not be accepted, and face shields can only be worn with masks. So, once you get past the gate and you prove vaccination, you got to have a mask. You can't have a bandana. You can't have a neck gaiter. You could have a face shield, but you got to have a mask with it. And so once you get through those basic protocols, then you can go in and watch the game. There won't be
Hey,
Ramona's here.
Momo's here. We have technical. We're fixing the studio because I think you and Mike will do something to it when you're here for games. You know what the one that got me on? I was reading all the rules. You can't bring your purse.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that.
To bring your purse in there. You have to leave your purse in the car and just take your wallet.
So is that a giant? I mean, for men, that's not a giant game changer, is it?
Yeah,
for
no
women?
Big deal. Oh my gosh! Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm like, I'm gonna have to wear pants with pockets. Okay, this is like, I don't know how to do pants with pockets. I guess I'll bring some lipstick because that's like you have to reapply that during the game or something.
Right, Ramona, if you are you
wallet,
coming,
which is too big for pockets. Yeah,
right, are you coming tomorrow? Okay, so come find me, and I'll put my lipstick in my pocket for you. To give you a little
I'll
space.
I'll carry your powder for you.
If you need it, just yell to me. But here's the thing: I don't know if you'll be able to walk right up to me. One of my bosses at the Lakers, when he sends emails like throughout this past year, always had a good sign off. He would say, be patient, be flexible. And I think if you're going to the game tomorrow night, that's what you got to do. You got to be, this is going to allow a little more time. Yeah. It's a 7 o'clock tip. You might want to treat it like a 6 o'clock tip in case there's only 2,000 fans, so the lines won't be ridiculously long, but it might take some time. You know, this is a first time experience for the Staples Center folks too. I'm genuine.
Well, I just think the other day, I'm excited, but I also think, John, just think how awful the reports were about the mobile food ordering at Dodger Stadium on opening day, right?
They got rid of it.
It went so poorly. They just got rid of it. They were like, you know what? This didn't work at all, and we're not going to do it. And so I think Staples Center is going to try that too. So if I were you, I would just eat before I go to the game.
I think that's great advice.
I just wouldn't even bother.
Let me give you some more.
Just eat.
Let me give you some more tips, okay? No cash will be accepted inside Staples Center. It's going to be completely cashless. While some concourse food options will be open, there won't be any eating or drinking allowed in the bowl. You got to go outside to eat. And groups of fans sitting together will need to be either from the same household. And I think they're going to, determine that loosely. Like, I think if you come to the games, I'll leave it up to Staples, and we're going to talk to them later. But I think there's some flexibility there. But hand sizer sanitation stations will be available throughout the venue, and they're encouraging you to wash your hands as much as possible. Look, I know this is a nuisance. I know it's kind of a pain. Mm-hmm. Ramona, I can't tell you. The thing that I think Michael and I talk about it all the time, that we have undersold as broadcasters because we didn't want to dwell on it. But now that we're getting fans back, I can admit it. Having fans is going to make a gigantic difference. Doing those games without any fans in the building was miserable. We talked all the time. I don't know how the players got motivated. And, you know, I think it's going to help the Lakers win.
Yep.
I think it's actually going to improve their on-court performance.
And I'll tell you this. I've talked to a couple of players who said it's a home court disadvantage at this point that they haven't had fans, right? They go on the road, and you go to Utah, there's like 6,500 people there. I mean, that's like, it's not a full house, but it's pretty full. I mean, they have a large crowd there now.
And, well, Alex Caruso just said it while you were while you were coming in, that they've been introduced as the defending world champions every time they've played a home game, and no one applauds. Lawrence Tanner, the PA announcer with Anik, goes, and now the NBA's current world champions, and you hear a golf clap. It's ridiculous. So tomorrow that all changes. The fans are coming back, and we'll have more on that throughout the show. All right, the Lakers' next five games, Ramona, could determine their playoff seeding. It's five tough games starting tomorrow with Boston. We'll get into that. And Trevor Bauer almost threw a no-hitter for the second time this season. He had six no-hit innings in his first start. He almost did it again last night. We'll get into the Dodgers. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. All right. Today it's Momo in Ireland, Mason on another vacation, and Ramona nice enough to sit in. We talked to Alex Caruso in the first segment. Also, the Lakers won last night, which means, Ramona, I've been telling people the only thing you got to keep an eye on is that top six spots in the West. The Lakers are now four games clear of seventh place Dallas. The one thing you don't want to do is go to seventh place, but they play Dallas twice in the next week. Tomorrow night they play Boston, then two games against Utah, and two games against Dallas. Mm. Those are all tough games. I would argue if you come out of those games, even 3-2, with a winning record in those games, that you've staved off the play-in tournament. After that, there'd be 12 games left, and you'd be four spots ahead of the Mavericks. The one thing you can't do is lose those two games in Dallas. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important. But you know what? I was trying to talk myself into this idea that the Lakers have to avoid the play-in tournament. You know what? I think I've turned around, John. I think they can win no matter what.
They'll come out of it. I want the week off.
The week off, that'd be nice. But maybe the week would be good because they'll need to like work themselves into playing shape. Like, I mean, maybe LeBron and AD are going to be rusty and they need some time to ramp up their minutes. Like, I don't know. That game in Charlotte, that was a good finish to the road trip where a non-championship team loses that game. It's the seventh game of seven-game trip. There's a bunch of guys out there that are just trying to play their way into the league. They're missing a bunch of their guys. The Lakers won it. They have enough guys out there that know what they're doing and know how to hold it down. I think they're fine whenever AD and LeBron get back.
If AD and LeBron come back at the end of the month, they get nine games in May to get ready. I think that's enough.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So that's why. Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at the standings, right now the Lakers are fifth. Do you think Denver, after losing Jamal Murray, is going to drop, or can they win? Like, for right now, the Lakers are half a game behind Denver.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think Denver could drop all the way to the drop all the way out to sixth or seventh. Like that, if I'm Denver, I want to avoid the Lakers at all cost.
Right.
So, I don't want to be the fourth or fifth team and end up playing LA.
Right. So then I'm trying to figure out who the Lakers' first round opponent will be. I don't know if the Lakers can catch the Clippers. They're 3.5 games behind them, and the Clippers are hot. They've won six games in a row. I don't think the Lakers are going to sink, but if they do, we could get Lakers-Clippers in the first round.
Yeah, if the Clippers stay in that three spot,
right,
and the Lakers end up in six, then you get LA in the first round.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think the Lakers, most of the predictions, you know, those models that the statistical guys will use, most have them either fifth or sixth.
I think that I can see them going to four and playing Portland.
Yeah.
Portland is three games behind Denver. I just don't know what Denver's going to look like without Jamal Murray. They've lost two games in a row. They were really hot after that Aaron Gordon trade. But, you know, trying to figure out who the Lakers' first-round opponent is really difficult because there's going to be a lot of shuffling before all this is over.
Well, also, there'll be some – like, if you're Dallas, you got two games against the Lakers where I think Dallas has to be highly motivated to win these games.
Because, in Dallas, by the way.
In Dallas, right? So you need to win these games because, one, I don't know that they can even avoid the play-in tournament at this point. They're pretty – sunk in seventh right there. Like, it's going to be hard for them to climb out. But if you're ever going to do it, these are the two games. This is way more important for Dallas because I think for them, this is, you know, the seventh place team is the one that has the most to lose in the play-in tournament. That's a team that would have been in any other year. But now, because we have this tournament, they're stuck. And so Dallas, to me, is if they get those two games, that hurts the Lakers and helps you. Plus, you also really want to avoid them. You don't want to end up playing them in the play-in game.
The Dallas, for whatever reason, has been struggling. They've lost three of four. They lost a game to the Rockets.
Ugh.
They lost a game to the Spurs. They lost to Philly. Everybody's losing to Philly. By the way, huge game that we'll get to later tonight in Philly. Brooklyn at Philly.
No Kevin Durant, though. They just announced that.
Oh, okay, so that means Philly will be favored. So no Durant and no Harden.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. No Durant, no Harden. I mean, it's interesting. Brooklyn, to me, is this team where nobody really knows what they're going to look like. You know, they always talk about, do you hold stuff back in the regular season? Do you hold it back for
the
play?
They obviously are.
Hey, I mean, whether they're doing it intentionally or not, they're holding it back. You're not going to be able to scout them very well.
I wonder. It'll be interesting to see who guards Joel Embiid tonight for Brooklyn, because I think that's what makes that series interesting. Does Brooklyn have anybody who can guard Embiid? And none of the three megastars would be that person. They're not going to put Durant, Kyrie, or Harden on Embiid. So that's one reason why I want to watch that game and see what happens. Now, if Brooklyn were to win it, if Brooklyn were to win that game tonight, that bodes very badly for the Sixers.
Yeah.
If they can't win at home when those guys are missing two of their superstars, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, and I think I think this MVP race is, I think a lot of people think Jokic is going to win because he's kind of the last guy standing, right? He's had a great year. Statistically, they've had a nice year, but let's see what happens to Denver now that Murray's out. To me, this makes or breaks Jokic's MVP. Like, if Jokic keeps them afloat, if they win despite losing Jamal Murray, if they kind of hang on to that four seed, then Jokic should definitely get it. But if they don't, and let's say Embiid and the Sixers make a push towards the end here and win the East while Denver falls into the play-in game.
There's your Embiid for MVP argument.
Yeah. This is going to get interesting down the stretch.
Yeah. I wonder, too, you know, Embiid really wants to win MVP and Simmons wants to win Defensive Player of the Year.
How do you feel about guys campaigning openly for individual awards they want to win?
It's weird, but like, there are sort of like Mason's like that.
I know. You've been hosting two decades with a guy like that.
Yeah.
If there's an award, he wants to win it.
Well, what he says is there's a spotlight. He wants to be in it.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's things like to guys like him, those things are really important. So they might as well own it. You know, like my sense is that those awards are important to LeBron, but he doesn't really campaign for him. He kind of thinks his work should speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. It is a little beneath him, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know if Ben Simmons is the best defensive player in the league. If he is, he should be able to shut down one of those megastars. Like, for example, tonight, only Kyrie's playing. I don't know if you put Ben on Kyrie, there's a big size disadvantage there. Mm-hmm. But if he claims he can shut anybody down and Doc Rivers says Ben Simmons can guard all five positions, Oh, really? All right, let's see you shut down Kyrie tonight.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, Ben Simmons had a good answer to Rachel Nichols the other day when he was talking about Defensive Player of the Year. He said, well, when we were in Utah, Rudy Gobert guarded me, and I got 42 points. So, head-to-head, I mean...
Right.
It's pretty good, right? That's a pretty good argument.
Although I'm not so sure that Rudy Gobert is his top competition for Defensive Player of the Year. Mm. You know, I think Clint Capella should be in that argument. Bam Adebayo is a very good defensive player. We'll see. We'll see how that all kind of shakes out in the end. All right, coming up next, we'll get to the Dodgers. The Dodgers and Trevor Bauer won again last night. And their pitching staff has been insane. They are gearing it up for the Padres series this weekend. We'll get into the Dodgers next. Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Today it's Ramona in Ireland, and the Dodgers did it again last night. This team is ridiculous. They have the best record in baseball.
Yep.
And they're I was thinking about something, Ramon. We should take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I was thinking that if you had, off the top of your head, you can go to a Dodger Stadium and see one of these starting pitchers pitch. You get Kershaw, Bauer, Walker Buehler, Urias or Dustin May, who throws 101 miles an hour. Who would you go see?
So I'm going to see Dustin May tonight. Okay?
Okay.
I want to see Bauer. That's the guy I want to see. But I think Dustin May is an absolute flamethrower. Like, you just 101 miles an hour, like, all the time, not just once a game. And the flaming red hair, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of an event to watch Dustin May pitch. But then Urias, to me, is also, it's like Fernando out there. I mean, he's breathing through his eyelids, and he's like,
and Kershaw's not going to be around forever.
Right?
Buehler probably is the best pitcher.
Right.
I mean, this is as good of a pitching staff, and we're not, you know, Mookie Betts came back last night, homered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the most loaded Dodger team I can ever remember, and I remember the 80s teams, the 70s and 80s teams that had Garvey, Say, Lopes, Russell, Reggie, the team that had four guys that hit 30 home runs. Nothing compares to these guys. I mean, and they, by the way, if they go down to San Diego this weekend, the Padres have the second best record in the National League. If they go down to San Diego and sweep them, look out. Because they'll be, I mean, I don't know who what team can slow these guys down.
Yeah, they look so deep, and it's something, it's kind of like, you don't know how it actually happens, but like, when they get a guy like, Kike Hernandez leaves, and I'm like, man, they're really going to miss Kike. He's just their utility man, he can play every position, he always comes in and gives them a spark. Well, you know what, they just came up with Zach McKinstry. Well, where did he come from? They just fill in. They have so much organizational depth. Somebody's always waiting right in the wings. Gavin Lux looks like they're hoping he's the next rookie of the year type player. The guy last night, what's his name? Rios, right?
Yeah. Well, he's been great too.
Great, but he would play and any other team, he'd play every night. He'd play. I mean, he's so good.
So would McKinstry, by the way.
McKinstry would play every night. They're so good, but they just don't even have room for them.
It'll be now. So, have you been to Dodger Stadium yet this year?
No, I haven't been to Dodger Stadium. This is my first game that I'm going to.
By the
to.
Way, you've been pretty, like, well, you had your surgery, but you've been pretty much of a homebody throughout the
total
pandemic.
Total homebody.
You're going to Dodger Stadium tonight, and you're going to Staples Center tomorrow night. What's gotten into you?
Yeah, well, we got shots, right? We got our shots, you know? And, like, I'm starting to kind of feel okay about it now, right? Like, it feels like, okay, once you're vaccinated, you feel like you can go out in the world. Now, you still got to wear your mask and be careful. I mean, the first day that I actually had an outdoor dining experience, John, that was my first time the whole time.
Right.
That I went to a restaurant. I went to a restaurant and I sat outside and we had kept our mask on most of the time. But it's still, I haven't done that. I've just been Postmates. I've been that girl. It's a weird feeling. It's almost like it's hard to trust it. Right? Doesn't it? Do you feel like that too? Like it's hard to trust? Like I believe in the vaccine. I had no qualms about getting it. I was very excited that we were able to. Like, I'm very happy that everybody can get this now. Like, go get it, people. But it's also like, now that you have it, you're like, oh, can I trust it?
Well, you're gonna find out right now. Are you going as a fan? Or are you going as a reporter?
Going as a fan. Bought a ticket and everything. Yeah, going as a fan.
Both games or just tonight?
No, tonight as a fan. Tomorrow I'm going to be working. They want me to do something for SportsCenter on what it's like to have fans back. So it'll be like a piece that night on with Neil and Stan probably.
Okay. By the way, so people ask me, how would I explain Kobe Bryant to other people? And I think that, you know, you just show him the 60-point game at the end of his career and that would probably do it. But my two favorite Kobe shots of all time. I've said this many, many times on the show. Today is the anniversary of those shots. April 14th, 2004. Mm. And if you just go on YouTube and you type in Kobe buzzer beaters, you can watch these shots. They are impossible, Ramona. Mm-hmm. Absolutely impossible shots to make. The first one was, okay, so we're in Portland. It's the last game of the regular season. And the Lakers are trying to determine their seeding. If they win, they're going to be the 2 seed. If they lose, they're going to be the 5 seed. That's how tight it was in the Western Conference that year. And so it's the end of the game, and Portland's up by 3. All right? So the only thing that can beat Portland is, or can even send the game into overtime, is a 3-pointer. And you know they have the Kobe stopper. They have Ruben Patterson.
Yeah.
And Ruben Patterson convinces his coach, I'm trying to remember who the coach of the Blazers was that year, but he says I can stop Kobe, and he did. He played perfect defense. So not only does Kobe hit a shot at the end of regulation to tie the game and send it to overtime, in overtime the Lakers are down 2, and he hits another one to win it. Here's Paul Sunderland and Stu Lance calling those two shots on April 14th, 2004.
Where are the Blazers going to go for their foul, or what are they going to do? Kobe with it, guarded by Patterson, staying outside the arc, dribbling. Patterson keeps his feet. Kobe forces. Oh! He made it! He threw it in! In the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Fall away high. Out to...
Oh! Again.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Are you? That's the way to end the regular season, Jeff. That's the way you end it. Kobe put it in the first overtime.
And Ramona, if you've never seen those shots, you're going to see a lot of Kobe stuff. You were working earlier today on a Kobe project that's coming out soon. If you have never seen those shots, go on YouTube and type in Kobe buzzer beaters.
Ugh.
And they're the two most impossible shots. I covered his whole career. They're the two most impossible shots I've ever seen him make. And I saw, I got here the year he was drafted and covered his whole career. These shots are perfectly defended. Perfect. And it didn't matter. He threw them both in anyway. And so, I always think, what excuse can I come up with to play those shots? And today it's because it happened on April 14th, 17 years ago. Just absolutely unbelievable.
And Kobe would tell you, John, that he practiced those shots.
Right.
He would tell you, like, it's not a shock that I make those. I know it might look crazy, but I practiced those. And he probably did. I believe him when he says that. He was always in the gym. Did you hear that Julius Randle story the other day when you guys were through New York?
No, but tell it. I heard a part of it, but go ahead and tell
essentially,
it.
Julius Randle said, you know, his first couple of years in the league, he played with Kobe. And, you know, a lot of those young players, Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, they all have great Kobe stories. And one of the things that he taught them was when you first get to a new city, like even it doesn't matter how late at night the team playing gets in, the first thing you should do is go to a gym and shoot and get your legs under you and get comfortable. It's like 3 a.m. You're traveling to wherever, like Minnesota in the middle of the night. And he would just fly in there and do that. Like he would just land up from the team plane instead of everybody else going home to the hotel. He finds some like high school gym or the arena or wherever it is, and he goes in there to shoot. And Randle says, you know, he thought about that while he was like, oh, that's cool, but he didn't get it until later in his career. And now he's at the stage where And when they land, he goes to the next, whatever city he's in, he goes and finds a gym and opens it up. And one of the cities he stopped in, he was like a high school gym. And the person there goes, wow, you know, no one's called to open it up like this since Kobe. Like, no one has done this since he used to do that every time he was through here. So they knew him. But nobody has until Julius Randle came through and was like executing what Kobe had told him all those years ago.
Yeah, I've seen Kobe shoot. I used to see him shoot at all times of the day and night. Yeah. It was
pretty Tim Grover has these epic stories of him. Yeah. They land in China, and you know, you could just imagine the time difference on their bodies, right? And Grover's exhausted. They just land, and he's like, "Let's go to the gym. I'll meet you downstairs at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
oh my gosh.
It's ridiculous. All right. Reminder, Fast Track coming up at the top of the hour. All right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mason and Ireland, Ramona in for Mace. And Ramona, have you seen Aaron Rodgers host Jeopardy?
I have seen clips.
All right. So he's really good at it.
He is.
I mean, it's like, for people who haven't done it, Jorge pulled... about a minute, so you can hear what it sounds like. Here's Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, who's on a 2-week Jeopardy. Is his favorite show growing up. He did very well in Celebrity Jeopardy. When Alex Trebek passed away, Rodgers was offered a chance to come in and guest host. And I think they just did it for a name guest host. But now people are actually looking at him as a potential replacement for Trebek. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Category for final today is daytime TV personalities. And a clue. Accepting a Lifetime Achievement Emmy, he said, just take 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are. You have 30 seconds. Good luck.
Okay, so he's not
We come
flashing.
To Joe Beth on the end first. You were in third place with 8,400. What did you write down? Who is? No response there. How much will that cost you? $901, leaving you with $7,499. Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal?
all right, so he didn't do anything, Ramona, that, I mean, nobody's going to be Trebek. Whoever takes this job is not going to be Alex. But have you seen anybody who's as good at this as he is?
I mean, he doesn't have... Like, the thing that I think is good about him is, one, it's Aaron Rodgers hosting. You're like, wow, it's Aaron Rodgers hosting this. But he's playing it straight. Like, that's what's kind of fun. He's not making the show about himself.
Right. And nor did Trebek ever
right.
do that.
That's what was great about Alex. Like, he had this great presence. And every once in a while, he'd hit you with a little droll jab. But it was never like, look at me.
The show was the thing.
The show was the thing.
All right. So there was a column today in USA Today.
Okay.
Written by Andy Nesbitt. And it says, Jeopardy should do the right thing and make Aaron Rodgers the full-time host. So he makes the case that, and you would think, well, Rodgers isn't going to do that. He makes $30 million a year playing quarterback. Then somebody asked Rodgers, and here's what he said. Would you consider taking the job if they offered it to you? Quote, hell yeah, I would. Look, it's my second brain job. I love the show and have a deep, deep affection for it. Not only is it a nostalgic connection to my childhood, but it's a really special show to me, and I had a great time with everybody that works there.
Hmm.
End quote. And Ramona, I don't know if people know this, but if you're the host of Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, this is the shooting schedule. They shoot 2 days a month. They go
Are
in
you
on
serious?
A yeah, they go in on a Saturday morning, okay?
Wow.
And they do 5 shows in the morning and 5 shows in the afternoon. And then they come back 2 weeks later on a Saturday morning
Wow.
and do 5 shows in the morning and 5 shows in the afternoon. It is a dream job, and it's going to pay him not $30 million, but probably close to 20. And he, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't old. He's not even 40 yet.
Yep.
He did this job for 20 years.
It's, you know, I knew the Jeopardy shooting schedule because my brother was on it, but I didn't know it was only 2 days a month.
Right.
I mean, you know, so.
Well, how'd your brother do?
He lost to the guy who won a million. What was the guy's name? I forget his.
Ken Jennings?
No, the other one. The one who did, the recent one. The one who ran up the scores.
Oh, James.
Holtzheiser.
Holtzheiser.
Yeah, Holtzheiser.
Yeah, James Holtzheiser.
He lost to James. Mm-hmm. The Jeopardy James. And he was on this. And this is why this is so crazy. Okay. When they shoot those shows, like, you know, James's whole run, it wasn't like, you know, we all saw it play out over
a month.
Yeah. It all happened in like 2 days. like, so my brother was, he knew he was going to be on a Friday show.
Okay.
And he was like, okay, but it's not like you come back on Monday. You just come back after lunch.
Right.
Like if you win. And he did okay with James, but it was I think it was James's first week. So he knew he was going up against a guy that had won a couple of shows in a row, but at the time you didn't know he was going to be Jeopardy James. Like you didn't know he was going to go on this massive run and win more money than anyone ever has. He just knew, okay, this guy's pretty good. Like he's won a few shows in a row. But like it all happens really. I didn't know it was two shows a month. Man,
yeah.
Alex had the life.
Well, and you guys can ring through on this if you want. 877-710-ESPN. I personally think that Rodgers is as good as anybody else they've put up there.
Mm. Don't you think he's kind of boring with his monotone voice?
But you like, want
so
that.
Was Alex.
Alex
had a good sharp voice and he was a little bit like somewhat witty. I feel like
yeah,
Rodgers,
he had these droll things.
Asleep.
Yeah.
Right, but who have you seen that you liked better than Rodgers? Like Dr. Oz wasn't good. Katie Couric did it. I guess LeVar Burton is pretty good at it, but Rodgers to me is, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers, so you know who he is, and he does, like Ramona said, he doesn't make him about himself. I don't know if you want a guy with like a perfect voice who's ridiculously good looking, and you know, I don't know if you want the standard old school game. I don't know if you want the Ron Burgundy game show.
I mean, just don't think that a lot of people like, I think the standard Jeopardy nerd per se, like doesn't even care or know who Aaron Rodgers is. You know how many people up on Jeopardy?
Right. But isn't that a good
bomb the sports category?
But isn't that a good thing?
I'm just saying, I think that a lot of the appeal is because he's Aaron Rodgers. I think if you took his name out of it and he was just a normal guy that was up there trying out for Jeopardy, everyone would be like, after two questions, they'd be like, all right, next guy. This guy's terrible. I just think he's boring.
Really?
Yeah, he is a little boring. I know what you mean. Like, he's just kind of reading the lines, but I actually think he'd get better. You saw him host the ESPYs. He was pretty good at that.
Right. I you know, again, I haven't seen a lot of guest hosts, but I haven't seen anybody better. Like, Ken Jennings was just okay. I wonder if they asked Jeopardy James. I wonder if they asked Holtzheiser to do it.
Yeah, he's got a weird personality. He's not like...
Yeah, but it's quirky.
Yeah, it's quirky. Look, you have to have some presence. That was the one thing Trebek had. He had presence. This is Jeopardy, right? Like,
yeah.
He would really own that, even though it wasn't saying much. He was just...
Yeah.
He was commanding the stage. Like you know, when I do a game and I'm really bad at the execution of the game, like, you can't...
Well, yesterday your game was too easy.
It was too easy, I think. Yeah, well, it was also too easy because of Michael, though. Like,
right.
Yeah, that was the flaw there. But you have to also own the game. You have to sell whatever you're doing.
Okay, so here's Trebek. Here's the here's the gold standard of what they have to measure up to.
Football 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Yeah, so Alex was like a theater performer.
Yeah.
And then you got Aaron Rodgers who's like, do or do not.
So he's just like reading the lines. I felt like Aaron was reading the teleprompter. And
playing him now, right after Alex.
Okay.
Here's Rodgers.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal?
I think Rodgers has been as good as anybody else, and he's a name. But who knows? They may go for a year to do this. Like, the biggest mistake you can make is try to be Alex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the, anybody who's ever had to follow a legend will tell you that, like, I'm the fourth guy to do the Lakers.
Thank God.
Since Chick. I'm incredibly thankful for that. Like, first, you heard that call earlier by Paul Sunderland.
Yeah.
Paul is a great basketball announcer. He just had the, you know, and he couldn't turn it down, but he followed Sinatra. You know, and so it's a really hard bar to clear if everybody's comparing you to Chick. So whoever gets this job is going to be compared to Alex. And if it's Aaron Rodgers, at least he's enough of a name where if he's not any good, they could just go on to the next guy and Aaron would be fine. It's not like you're ruining his life.
True.
He's got $100 million. But it's going to be a hard job to fill. Like, you know, I thought it was, I really like Joe Davis, the young Dodger announcer.
Yeah.
He really, you know, like they went a year kind of phasing Vin out. Vin only did West Coast games, and then he only did home games, and then he did, and by the time Joe took it over, they had kind of greased the runway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, we still hear Vin's voice on the broadcast all the time.
Well, like, what anybody will tell you is, Ramona, you want to, like, I run towards Chick.
Yep.
So does Billy. So does Bill McDonald. We run towards Chick. We idolize him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, several times during a game, Bill and I will say, I said it the other night, both teams were kicking the ball all over the place. And I said, if Chick were here, he would say the mustard's off the hot dog. Or mm-hmm. I use the phrase, this game's in the refrigerator. Or like Morales ran a promo, it was the other day, where I said he can't throw a pea in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's from Chick.
Totally.
You know, so I think that this, you shouldn't run away from Alex, but you also shouldn't try and copy him. You know, it's a tough needle to thread.
So, you know, you've done TV and radio very successfully in your career. I have done radio, and television, but I've never really hosted. Okay, so I host the radio show sometimes when you guys are out, and it's uncomfortable for me. Like, I can do it
because you're not used to it.
Yeah, I'm not used to it.
Yeah,
but like when I hosted with Michelle Beadle, I hosted every week, and I started getting good at it. After a while,
you
find your groove. You need reps in that role. Same thing with hosting a TV show. And the one thing about hosting a TV show that nobody can quantify until you get up there and start doing it is how you're going to read off the prompter.
Right,
that is a skill. That is not something you think somebody would be great at it. Oh, this person has such a great personality.
Well, every night you watch the news, that person's reading off a teleprompter.
And it's so hard to deliver those lines as you're reading them, sometimes for the first time, okay? Deliver them as if you're just delivering, you're an actor delivering the line. And it's like you get up, you have people, you swear they'd be great in this thing. They'd be great in this role. You put them up there on that prompter? Nope.
Yep. Completely different animal.
Yep.
Here's David on line one who wants to weigh in on this. Hey, David, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
It didn't take Alex Trebek one day or a week to come up with his voice and theatrical versions. So basically, if Aaron Rodgers has more experience, he'll come up with his own style and people will... it'll be attractive to most audience members.
It's a good point, because if he was really just doing the Aaron Rodgers weeks were probably just like 2 days. It's not like he had a lot of time to adapt after each show, watch tape, improve, get better.
Right. So, and he's only doing it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, he's only doing it 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, he probably
was
just doing
David,
it in 2 days.
Thanks, David. That's a good point. All right, coming up next, Fast Track. I got questions for Ramona. She's got them for me. We'll tackle them next, 710 ESPN.